Breaking news as we come on the air tonight. The dangerous dual weather threats rapidly intensifying, tens of millions of Americans under threat from coast to coast. The monster atmospheric river slamming the West Coast tonight, unleashing punishing rains and potentially life-threatening flash flooding and landslides. Part of a highway destroyed. Evacuation orders in effect for communities ravaged by recent wildfires. In the central U.S., another major severe weather threat is developing tonight. Tornadoes already reported. And the new storm danger unfolding in the east. Rob Marciano standing by, timing it all out. Also tonight, the investigation into the deadly movie set tragedy. The powerful new images coming in. Alec Baldwin embracing Helena Hutchins' husband and young son just days after her death. What we're learning about the prop gun that discharged and what the armorer said just weeks before the horrific accident. And the news tonight on COVID shots for children ages 5 to 11, potentially just weeks away. 28 million American children in that age group still not protected. What Pfizer's early data shows about vaccinating them with a smaller dose. The major decision headed to an FDA advisory panel in just days. And the booster rollout underway for millions of eligible Americans. Tonight, what Dr. Anthony Fauci is saying about mixing and matching. And the last minute negotiations in the push for Democrats' ambitious spending plan. President Biden meeting at his Delaware home with Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and Senator Joe Manchin, a major holdout where things stand tonight. The deadly drag race crash. Two children killed, others injured when a driver crashes into the crowd of spectators. And America strong tonight. The two teenage sisters making history on the football field.
ABC News World Headquarters in New York. This is World News Tonight.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us on this busy Sunday. I'm Lindsay Davis. We are following several breaking stories as we come on the air, but we begin tonight with tens of millions on alert as two extremely dangerous and massive weather systems take aim. Part of the West Coast is in the path of what's called an atmospheric river, triggering torrential rain and potentially deadly flash flooding. The powerful storm is bringing high winds, already knocking down trees and causing power outages. Much of the rain is falling on communities that have suffered through droughts and wildfires for months, creating a greater risk of flooding and mudslides. And in the Midwest, another major threat. Forecasters warn of severe thunderstorms. There are already reports of tornadoes, large hail, and destructive winds. Tornado and flood watches are now in effect across several states. Rob Marciano is standing by with the track in a minute, but first, ABC's Will Carr leads us off from Sacramento.
Tonight, tens of millions from coast to coast on alert with two dangerous weather systems taking aim. A monster storm along the West Coast dumping torrential rain and triggering dangerous flash flooding. This video from Santa Rosa, California, showing roads turning into rivers. Intense winds knocking out power for more than 150,000 customers across three states. From San Francisco to Sacramento, evacuations underway for hundreds of homes in the mountains. An atmospheric river sparking a relentless deluge. Authorities urging residents to stay off the roads.
We've lived here 20 years, never seen it this high.
Concerns of life-threatening flash flooding across wildfire-ravaged areas in California. This drone video showing a landslide in the area where the Dixie Fire ravaged over 950,000 acres. And tonight, a major severe weather threat unfolding in the heartland. Hail pounding northern Arkansas. Storms targeting Oklahoma to Illinois. At least two reported tornadoes touching down.
With the threat of more flooding and mudslides tonight, here in Sacramento, we're facing the worst of the storm right now, and it could be a dangerous night for millions across this area. Lindsay.
Yeah, potentially dangerous for so many. Will, thank you. Let's get right to ABC senior meteorologist Rob Marciano. Rob, time this all out for us heading into Monday.
Well, Lindsay, this is a large and powerful system in the west that rapidly intensifies, still sits off the coast of the northwest, thankfully, but the main impacts have been from that atmospheric river. You see it here on the satellite picture, spinning away there, but more rain, as Will mentioned, is coming tonight to central California and some heavy snows as well, but not at the very highest of elevations. This is going to be mostly rain, so flash flooding debris flows are going to continue to be an issue. The energy from the storm we saw yesterday, that's in the plains right now. We have tornado watches that are posted for eastern Oklahoma right up through St. Louis into Illinois. That's until 10 o'clock. And flood watches across the northern part of that. And this all progresses off to the east. Tomorrow, we're looking at the severe weather threat for the Carolinas. And then combining with some energy off the coast, we're probably going to see a nor'easter in the northeast on Tuesday and Wednesday. Lindsay?
Busy all over the map. Rob, thank you so much. And now to that deadly shooting on a movie set and the emotional new images coming in. Alec Baldwin embracing the husband and young son of Helena Hutchins, the cinematographer killed Thursday by a gun fired by the actor. Investigators are now focusing on the gun and how it was handled by the crew in the days leading up to the deadly shooting. ABC's Kaylee Hartung is in Santa Fe.
Tonight, as authorities investigate the movie set shooting death of cinematographer Helena Hutchins, these images. Actor Alec Baldwin meeting with Hutchins' husband Matthew and their 9-year-old son as they travel to Santa Fe. Baldwin sharing emotional embraces with each of them.
Had two people accidentally shot on a movie set by a prop gun. We need help immediately.
Investigators are now zeroing in on the chain of custody of that prop gun that accidentally killed Hutchins on the set of the Western Rust. The sheriff's report saying the gun was one of three prop guns set up on a cart by the film's armorer, Hannah Gutierrez Reed. Assistant director Dave Halls grabbing the Colt revolver off a cart and handing it to the film's star, Baldwin, saying it was cold, meaning not loaded with any live rounds. But while the gun was in Baldwin's hands, a projectile fired, killing Hutchins and injuring director Jewel Souza.
We were rehearsing and it went off and I ran out. We all ran out.
The AD telling investigators he did not know the gun contained live rounds.
I'm shocked, first of all, that something like this could ever happen on a film set. I mean, there are no live bullets ever on a film.
A film's armorer is in charge of all prop weapons on set. On a podcast just 6 weeks ago, Gutierrez Reed describes how nervous she was to take her first job as lead armorer on another film earlier this year.
I almost didn't take the job because I wasn't sure if I was ready.
The 24-year-old saying she learned how to handle firearms from her father, legendary Hollywood armorer Thel Reed.
I think loading blanks was like the scariest thing to me because I was like, oh, I don't know anything about it.
One Rust cast member telling ABC News, Gutierrez Reed was always very professional on set and took her job seriously. The film's director, Souza, recovering from his shoulder injury, saying he's gutted by his colleague's death. And at a local vigil, a Rust crew member describing how talented and kind Hutchins was.
I would have been lucky to have ever done another movie with another person like that, or with her. And I don't get to.
So many questions about how this happened. Kaylee Hartung joins us now from the Santa Fe Sheriff's Department. So far, no charges have been filed, but the district attorney there isn't ruling anything out. What more are you learning about the crew members who handled this prop gun?
Well, Lindsay, we reached out to both the armorer and the assistant director and haven't heard back from either. ABC News has reported that some camera crew members walked off the set just hours before the shooting, citing concerns, including for gun safety. But the film's production company says they never received any official complaints about prop or weapon safety on the set. Lindsay.
Kaylee, thank you. Now to the pandemic. 28 million American children between the ages of 5 and 11 may soon be eligible to receive the Pfizer pediatric vaccine. Shots for children could start in early November, pending official authorization from the FDA and the CDC. The dose is one-third that of adults, and the vials contain distinctive orange caps. For the latest on that and what Dr. Fauci said today about booster shots, here's ABC's Phil Lipoff from New York.
Tonight, doctors and nurses across the country preparing to offer COVID vaccinations to children ages 5 and 11 as soon as the first 2 weeks of November. An FDA panel set to review Pfizer's data Tuesday to determine authorizing the two-dose shot.
In the meantime, the administration is working on the operations and the logistics, so as soon as we have both the FDA authorization and the CDC recommendations, there will be vaccine out there so children can start rolling up their sleeves.
28 million children in the U.S. would be newly eligible. Pfizer's early trial data showing the vaccine, one-third the adult dose, is nearly 91% effective against symptomatic illness in young children. Also reporting zero cases of myocarditis, inflammation of the heart muscle occurring most often in young men a few weeks after the second shot.
The younger age group had less severe side effects than even the older kids. That's probably because it's a smaller dose.
Renee and Miguel Chavez's two children, Nico and Sophia, took part in the Pfizer trial.
We all got vaccinated, and it was extremely important to us that our kids were kept safe from COVID as well.
Meantime, a massive booster rollout kicking off. More than 12 million Americans already getting that additional shot.
I'm so excited to get this booster. I'm very excited.
Late last week, the CDC recommending boosters from Moderna and Johnson & Johnson after Pfizer's got the green light last month. The CDC also determining it's okay to mix vaccines, meaning you can choose a different brand for a booster than the one you initially received.
The good news about this is that it allows a considerable degree of flexibility for people to get what we hope they will get, namely a booster that will increase and optimize their protection.
Both CVS and Walgreens say they have those boosters ready to go. So do tens of thousands of other pharmacies and community centers all across the country. If you want to know if you're eligible or where there may be a location near you, all you have to do is go to vaccines.gov. Lindsay?
Helpful information there, Phil. Thank you. Today, a renewed sense of urgency from President Biden and top Democrats trying to nail down an agreement on their Build Back Better agenda. Today, the president met with West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin and Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. The White House saying they continue to make progress. So where do things stand? Here's ABC's White House correspondent, Mary Alice Parks.
Hoping to close the deal on his social spending package, President Biden calling Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and Senator Joe Manchin to his Delaware home today. Manchin, one of two key Democratic holdouts, forcing the White House to scale back ideas around fighting climate change. One proposal to get utility companies to switch to clean energy scrapped, raising questions about how the president can meet his emission reduction goals. Democrats insisting even a trimmed down spending plan would be transformational for the country.
We can afford to do this. We can't afford not to do it.
Still on the table, expanding Medicare for seniors to include dental, hearing, and vision coverage.
Dental is very expensive, so hearing and visual and dental, but dental will take a little longer to implement.
Speaker Pelosi confident Democrats have options to cover the price tag that could be near $2 trillion.
We're going to fully pay for the plan. We were ready to pay for 3.5.
Right.
So we certainly can pay for half of that.
Democrats considering several ways to tax the nation's billionaires. Progressive leaders now saying if there's a handshake on this, they'll be ready to vote for the president's other bill for traditional infrastructure, too.
I'm confident that the president will be able to give his word to the House caucus that he has that agreement, and that would then facilitate the vote on the infrastructure bill.
Lindsay, Democratic leaders say they are hoping to take a vote on that infrastructure bill by the middle of this week. The White House is putting a lot of pressure on lawmakers to get something done before the president travels overseas later this week. Lindsay?
Mary Alice Parks reporting in from the White House. Thanks so much. There are growing concerns over the supply chain crisis as we get closer to the holidays, and it's not just toys, shoes, and everyday staples. One woman waited for months for her wedding dress. Here's ABC's Deirdre Bolton.
Workers here are now working around the clock.
Tonight, global supply chain slowdowns and labor shortages are exacerbating an ongoing crisis.
Labor supply is depressed by the pandemic.
These wedding dresses ordered in January, finally arriving this week.
Calls are coming in every hour on the hour pertaining to shipping.
Lindsay Merlo had to reorder her wedding gown after receiving the wrong one.
Get the ring, get the dress. It meant everything in the world to have the dress that I fell in love with. One little mistake can happen and it can just really change your timeline.
It arrived with only days to spare. Delays at every link in the supply chain keeping goods out of consumer hands.
Boats can't get into the ports because there's such a backlog. Truck drivers are also in short supply.
Most experts say order early. Inventory is lean and expect costs to creep higher from here.
This holiday shopping season is unlike anything we've seen in the past.
The Postmaster General widely criticized last year, now telling the Wall Street Journal that with more seasonal workers and warehouses, the agency is, quote, going to kill it in this unusual year. Lindsay?
Deirdre, thank you. Gun violence in Philadelphia is taking its toll on the city's young people. One student likens his commute to high school to passing through a war zone. Some educators are listening and making efforts at honest conversations to improve the lives of their students. Here's ABC's Zachary Keesh.
Tonight in parts of North Philly, the gun violence is so bad, just getting to and from school feels like a life or death risk for some students.
They're walking in groups. They're looking for people to pick them up and take them to school.
For the first time since 96, there are more than 400 murders in back-to-back years in the city of brotherly love.
Why do we just live to die?
Principal Leondo Dunn and others are coming to their kids' defense, demanding an end to the violence.
It's like there is no way out of this.
At Simon Gratz High School, 9 kids have been shot and killed in the last year.
We had 3 students that we lost to gun violence in 1 week. Imagine the weight of that. You're a kid.
Learn.
I met with a group of students juggling environment and the understanding that education is the best path out.
What's your understanding of what's going on around here in the neighborhood?
It's very uncomfortable for us when we want to hang out with our friends that we have to look over our shoulders every day.
I don't walk to school or walk back. My mom makes me drive.
You still have to think about, what can I do to make sure that I'm not in that situation, or what can I do to make sure that my future and my life are set so I could get out of the city.
More than 80% of homicide victims in Philadelphia last year were black men. Dunn says what's happening at Gratz would be unacceptable in more affluent parts of the city.
What do they not have in common is the color of their skin. And students should not have to fight to change systems that they didn't create, that they were born into, and that they exist within. It's not their responsibility to fix it.
Lindsay, the CDC calling gun violence an epidemic and serious health threat. The students at Gratz telling me the football season was canceled not because of COVID, but because of crime. Lindsay?
Zachary, our thanks to you. And there is still much more ahead on World News Tonight this Sunday. The terrifying scene at a drag race event. How police say 2 children ended up dead.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our 2 interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially 4 trials facing former President Trump as he makes his 3rd bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Next tonight, 2 children killed at a drag racing event in Texas. Police say a driver lost control on an airport runway northwest of San Antonio yesterday and then crashed into a crowd of fans. 2 boys died. They were just 6 and 8 years old. 8 other people were injured, including a 46-year-old woman who's now in critical condition. And jury selection is set to begin tomorrow in the civil trial for organizers of the deadly Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, Virginia. Community members injured during the 2017 rally are suing 24 organizations and individuals, accusing them of conspiring to commit violence. Some defendants say that they were exercising their First Amendment rights. 32-year-old Heather Heyer was killed when a car drove into counter-protesters after the rally. To the index tonight, a tragic discovery in the search for a missing 5-year-old boy from New Hampshire. Investigators say search teams acting on a tip found a body believed to be Elijah Lewis yesterday, buried in a park south of Boston. Police arrested the boy's mother and a man in New York last weekend. Both have pleaded not guilty to charges related to the case. Colombia's most wanted drug lord under arrest tonight after more than a decade on the run. Colombia's security forces say they captured Dairo Antonio Osuga yesterday at a jungle hideout protected by 8
rings of security. The country's president comparing this to the arrest of Pablo Escobar. Usuga had long been on the DEA's most wanted fugitives list. And tonight, Ed Sheeran announcing he has tested positive for COVID just days before the expected release of his new album. The British pop star telling fans on Instagram that he is self-isolating and following government guidelines. He says he'll be doing as many planned interviews and performances as he can from home. And tonight, we've learned the actor who played the beloved coffee shop employee Gunther on the hit sitcom Friends has died. Former executive producer on the show says James Michael Tyler passed away last night, tweeting, quote, God bless you, James. Gunther lives forever. Tyler was diagnosed with prostate cancer in 2018 and first revealed it earlier this year. He was 59 years old. Finally tonight, two sisters in Chicago are following in their mother's footsteps and breaking new ground on the gridiron. On the football field at De La Salle Institute.
One, two, three.
Beers.
At what was once an all-boys high school in Chicago, history is being made.
I feel like it's really good for our school, seeing that girls could do something that boys can also do, like girl power.
Mia Loza is the first female kicker for the Meteors.
She can outkick the boys?
She's more consistent with PATs than any of the boys that we have.
Coach Mike Bame first noticed Mia on the soccer field last year.
I was kicking the soccer ball, so he saw my foot. He was like, let's try a field goal. Maybe you could do it.
Hey, maybe she could help us. So you go over there, you bring your long snapper, your holder, and she starts booming them.
In her second season as the Meteor's starting varsity kicker, Mia has scored more than a dozen extra points for the team. And now her younger sister, Cece, is getting in on the action, kicking for the JV team.
We're just kickers, JV and varsity. We encourage each other.
They were also encouraged by their mother, Julie, who was a standout soccer player in high school. And because there was no girls team at the time, she became the first girl to make the boys squad.
Leaving her mark at her high school was something big for her because she's also in like the Hall of Fame. She was like, go for it, like don't look back.
These girls only look forward. Square down the middle of the goalposts.
Oh my God.
Many in that community posting pictures of the girls with the hashtag girl power. I'm Lindsay Davis in New York. Have a great evening. Good night.